other yak babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Welcome to Yak Babies, only podcast on the internet sponsored by sugar-coated shark flakes, the snack that attacks. My name is Aaron, here with my personal pals Brick.
Hello.
And calling from Old Ireland, we have Old Irish Nico.
Hello.
Personal pal Dave is on assignment. He has gone to the planet Apocalypse to do recon for the invasion of Darkseid and his forces onto Earth. That's right, we're talking about Justice League, the Snyder Cut, this week on Yak Babies. Because we mentioned it a while back. I had watched it like right when it came out, and I suggested my personal pals take a peek if they were interested in something. Interesting experience, for sure. It's a four-hour superhero movie, and it requires a certain kind of engagement, and I thought they might get a kick out of it. And then two of them took the bait. Nico and Brick have watched Justice League, and so we're going to chat about it right here.
To the end, which surprised me.
Yeah, you watched the whole thing to completion. Yeah. I think it's very watchable in that sense, because it just sort of like moves along at its weird pace. Like I said, when I finished, I was like, I could have watched another 4 hours probably. Just like you get just washed over this like aesthetic and you just get lost in it. I'm not saying it's good necessarily, but I'm in the world. I might as well just stay there for a while, which is also due to the soothing effect of the slow-mo.
Yeah, so much slow-mo. God damn it.
Yeah. I mean, the little backstory on this is the Justice League movie was the follow-up to the Batman vs. Superman movie that Zack Snyder directed. Came out in 2017, I think. And he was removed from the project, or he removed himself from the project when his daughter committed suicide very tragically. And they brought on Joss Whedon to finish it up. And he basically cut out most of what they had already shot and replaced it with a bunch of other stuff. And the movie came out, it was terrible. I saw it in the theater opening weekend. It was awful. And I kind of just like, well, that's the end of that. I'll never have to think about Justice League ever again, at least in the movie form. I think about it in the comic form constantly and didn't look back. And all of a sudden there was this groundswell, this sort of grassroots revolt online of fans who believed there was a secret Snyder cut out there, that if they just let Zack Snyder have his vision, it'd have been a better movie. And for a long time it was dismissed as a rumor or just like a fervent fan hope, and there's substance to it. And all of a sudden things started to come out that seemed to give it more validity. Ben Affleck was in an interview, said that there was a better cut out there somewhere, and the other actors said similar things too. And then when HBO Max was debuted, one of their big lures was that they're going to have this Justice League, this four-hour Snyder cut.
Which they spent $70 million to create, because it did not exist.
To finish special effects and to add like 4 minutes of new footage, basically, which is wild. Most of it was shot, which is the amazing thing. And it really was like just crazy, like sitting unused. So the one good thing you can say objectively, I guess, is that this rumor turned out to be right. Like, it's just like, it's amazing that they were right. Like, the fans that were demanding that the Snyder could be released, like, they had a point. And I dismissed it. Certainly, I was one of the people who was like, there's no way they actually exist. And it really did, because there's obviously quite a bit of stuff that they released. Now, whether it deserved to be released or not is a different question. And that's what we're going to discuss today. So I watched this. It's a weird movie. It's an extremely weird movie.
Yes.
I don't think it's that much better than the original. It is better for sure, but not by that much, I don't think. Did you guys watch the original, the Whedon one?
No.
No.
Yeah, you don't need to. There's no reason to. Especially now I'm watching this one, because you got the better take on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just wasn't, I don't know, it's weird.
Yeah.
It's not very good. But I think what's not good about it is the underlying everything of it, and not like, you know what I mean? Like, so like recutting it doesn't make it better. We just saw more. There's probably a better, like, lots of people could probably cut a better movie out of those 4 hours. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a lot. But it's also like the fundamental things that aren't, it's just, this isn't a terrible movie. It's just boring. And it's just like, it has cool parts. There are some cool scenes. Some of the characters are better than others, but the underlying, like, the acting's not very good. The aesthetics are not very good. The story is not very good. And it's just, so it doesn't really matter how you recut it, because the problem was the vision, the creative vision that showed up in 4:3 for whatever reason. It's just not very good.
That's the crazy part. Can we just, stop to say that it is in 4:3 aspect ratio, which blows my
it's a wild choice.
Mind. Yeah. I don't understand.
The reason for it is just dumb, and it's made up. They just didn't want to cut it.
Because supposedly it's supposed to be IMAX, but I mean, Brick, you looked it up, and it's supposed to be
IMAX. You wanted to shoot it in IMAX, but they couldn't afford to shoot it in IMAX. We just shot it in an IMAX presentation anyway. But then they also called it Academy Ratio sometime, just like Citizens Kane. It's just a bunch of nonsense because they didn't they spent enough money and they didn't need to edit it.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Because in order to cut that, they would have needed to reshoot some things without cutting off people's foreheads is really, because it was shot in that ratio.
No, it's just pan and scan.
But
have Zack Snyder paying $70 million for having fucking sit in a chair
been,
and pan
You would have been motion sick the whole time. I think, I don't know, who knows? But either way, it's stupid. The problem is Batman's cooler than most Marvel characters, I think, right? But I would watch 100 Marvel movies before I watched another DC movie. Even the good DC movies are not very good. They look bad. The acting's not good. They're just not as good. And I don't know if the color has a lot to do with it. I think the Marvel movies are colorful and they feel, for some, I don't know how they do it. I'm definitely not a film school person, but for some reason the characters and the world in the Marvel movies fit, and the things going on in this, especially now that they've decided to keep some in canon and not in others with the multiverse nonsense, which is they can keep the good movies and get rid of the bad movies. And but none of it fits. This felt like 15 different movies snipped together. This felt like this Batman and this Superman don't really feel like they exist in the same world. But then sometimes they have scenes together. Wonder Woman is the one that everyone likes the most.
Right.
It's still not very good, right? It's better than the rest. Aquaman had no place in this movie. They were probably right. I don't really care about Joss Whedon, but if I were cutting this, I would probably also have cut out Aquaman because he didn't fit. The coolest scene he had was in a place with no water, and then just they invented a reason to have water in there so he could help.
Right.
It's like it doesn't work. Cyborg looked terrible, but I guess that's fine. If you're spending $70 million, you could do a little bit better on the CGI. It was just honestly, they should have left it not release. things get cut for reasons. I don't know. I think they need to cut their losses, give up this extended universe thing, and just go back to just making movies that are like make Batman movies and make things. And like I think they're chasing a unicorn that's not there.
I mean, I think I can see the reason that HBO did it, because you get a full blockbuster 4-hour Hollywood movie for $70 million.
Yeah.
And you also get subscribers. Like, I subscribe just for that reason.
Yeah.
Financially, it makes perfect sense. Don't get me wrong. I just mean, from a is it good perspective? No, it's not. And they should have, if they actually cared about the thing, they would just let it sit for 10 years and then make a Justice movie, do it again in the future with new actors, new whatever. And just because they're just not good. Mm. Ben Affleck is a terrible Batman.
I kind of like him. I'm in a weird position where I'm not.
I think he's a Bruce Wayne.
Yes, which is what he is, really, in the DC movies, which I kind of like. Mm-hmm. Like, he's kind of the elder statesman. Like, he's the Iron Man at the end of his career. He's
goofy as Batman. Like, in the scenes when, they were just looking for reasons to have Batman in those final scenes. When he's, running around, fighting people with the turrets.
Mostly what he does is shoot guns. And it's, his job is,
Yeah.
Yeah, he's, got machine guns all the time. The Batman-ness of him is totally lost on this.
Oh, yeah. No, but I think he becomes a completely different kind of character. But, I mean, I don't know. I kind of so I really disliked the opening. I think the opening was terrible. I think the first 90 minutes was completely jumbled to fuck. So in the first 90 minutes, the first part after the prologue or whatever is called No Thanks Batman or whatever.
Oh yeah, it's in chapters, the little clever titles.
Yeah, 7 chapters, which great. I mean,
plus an hour-long epilogue.
What an ego stroke this entire thing was. But so the first part is Batman going to Aquaman and asking him to be in the Justice League. Aquaman says no. Batman goes home. And then...
after a really weird song by a bunch of Scottish girls.
So then fucking Steppenwolf comes in and fucks up the whole Wonder Woman tribe and steals their mother box. And then Wonder Woman goes to Batman to explain why the mother boxes are important and what they are and all of that shit. Which, I mean, that just fundamentally shows me that Zack Snyder doesn't know how to construct a story. Because the way that you construct that is Steppenwolf comes in. He takes the mother box. You don't know what the fuck's happening. Wonder Woman goes to Batman and explains it all. And then Batman goes to Aquaman and says, this is what's happening. The mother boxes are getting stolen. You have a mother box. And Aquaman is like, fuck, I don't want to be on your team, but I have to.
Right.
And it's like, I mean, that seems relatively obvious to me. Because when Batman doesn't understand that Steppenwolf is coming to steal all the mother boxes. What is he asking of Aquaman? Like, what? Why is he even at Aquaman's shed?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
It's all built on the end of Batman versus Superman when Superman dies.
Wasn't in the movie.
Yeah, and Batman's like, we need to replace him somehow because all of a sudden he loves Superman even though he hated him for most of the movie. And so the whole thing is like, we have to team up so that we can fight off threats because Superman's gone now. But that's all.
Nico's still right that it makes way more sense to just do that when the threats show.
Oh, totally. Yeah. No, you're not wrong at all. Yeah. I'm just saying that the answer is in a different movie and you had to have watched that.
He's basically sucking his own dick, right? Like he's sniffing his own shit. He's like, well, everybody obviously saw my last
right.
film.
Well, so, but I think a real problem with this movie, which is a common thing I love at comics in general, but more than any other comic movie I've ever seen, this and to be fair, the origins of the existence of this version is predicated on this, so I guess it makes sense. There's constant like just things to nerd. Like I had to look some up, like down to like this person's wearing this suit instead of that suit, and like because when part of the reason they cut the film, like the creative differences, because he wanted Superman to be in a black suit, and then they said no, he needs to be in a red suit because it looks better. In which fine, like comic nerds are probably right, like yeah, you should wear the black suit for this arc, but also like who cares? Put him in a fucking red suit because that'll probably sell movies because your movies are terrible, right? So like do it. So then they chose a black suit that was like a certain chromatization so that it would be easier to recolor the red, like some a bunch of nonsense. But like constantly there's all these like not maybe this is part of why the Marvel movies are better, because the Marvel movies also do that where they like breadcrumb things from different movies into things or whatever, but there's a reason for it to exist, and it's like a fun nod so that you can turn to the person next to you in the theater and be like, oh yeah, that's like that guy's like a pretty famous thing, and like he's gonna show up in something else, and like he's Iron Man, Dad, right. Don't worry about it, right? As opposed to like this guy that was a general in three movies, if you Google it, is actually the Martian fucking whatever, and also who's the Martian whatever?
Oh yeah, he's the Martian Manhunter Superman
from like 19
what?
Like there's shit that just doesn't make any sense unless you've read comics for 50 years. And like even if you're like pretty well versed in the DC characters, you're not gonna know some of that shit.
Yeah, the Martian Manhunter reveal made me feel embarrassed, because even though I was excited to see Martian Manhunter, I was also like, well, no one's gonna care about this reveal. It's not gonna mean anything.
I was like, who the fuck is that guy? I had to stop the movie and look it up because it like made no sense.
And I was also super surprised because with that reveal where he's posing as Superman's mom, right? And he goes to talk to Lois Lane.
Yeah.
And then he becomes like, he's like, goes outside and he's like, becomes Martian Manhunter. I assumed he was evil.
Right.
But he's not, right?
He doesn't explain it until 3 hours later. 3 hours
he's not.
Later.
He's like back. Doing that as a good thing. And it's like, okay.
Apparently he's a member of the Justice League from like
in the 50s. Mm. He was one of the founding Justice League members.
Great. See? But like none of that matters. Like that should be cut from the movie.
So one thing I read is that in that after credits scene where he goes to see Batman and says like, by the way, I'm Martian Manhunter. Batman's like, okay. Apparently it was supposed to be Superman, and so they shot that whole thing without Affleck knowing who he was talking to, so it's like that's why it feels so just like non-specific. And it's like it does feel like an actor just like talking to a cloud who like has no idea what he's doing. He's just like going through the motions, and then they just fit in the CGI character around it.
Also, Ben Affleck had a different body size.
That was one of the reaches.
Did you notice that? He must have lost weight for another movie or something.
But that was
it looked better. He looked better.
Yeah, well, it obviously bulked up.
But I kind of liked that Batman because it was like, what the fuck? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Who the fuck are you? Why should I care? And I was like, I'm right there with you, Batman. but so like really, Brick's obviously in the hard dislike column, at least. I really disliked the first 90 minutes, but then after that, I was like, all right, this is a pretty standard superhero movie. After that, it was like there was some clumsy shit, but it was more or less watchable to me after like we got everything sorted out. It was clear what the threat was, although I did have to Wikipedia what the fucking anti-life equation is, because fuck you, DC. Yeah. Like, okay, I don't give a shit that Jack Kirby came up with it fucking 89 years ago. Come up with something simpler, because what does Thanos have over on Marvel? He has the fucking snap. Everybody knows what the snap is. Everybody in the entire world knows what a snap is.
Well, they also spent an entire movie building up the importance of the Infinity Stones and what that would mean if Thanos got control of them. So you have this like narrative construction allows you to, as a audience, if you don't know what the Infinity Gems really mean, you can sort of follow along. Whereas in this movie, it was like, if you don't know the in-life equation, there's really no scaffolding for you. You just have to assume it's good or bad.
There's no explanation.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
And there was no explanation in Mr. Miracle, which we read, the new Mr. Miracle. Like, there's not really... Their version of explanation of the anti-life equation is like, it's fear, it's sadness. I was like, I don't understand what that means. So then like finally I look it up in the wikis. It causes entire planets to just give up. So that's how Darkseid wants to conquer planets. I can wrap my head around that.
Yeah.
But it's despair. Like that doesn't, you know, that's not the same as.
Yeah, it's like willpower. It's like the ability to like assert your will over somebody else. But that's not explained. That's not given to you. It's just sort of led you as it's like, it'll be bad if this happens. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things, this is just like a small detail, but when they're showing how they hid the mother boxes on Earth and like the Amazons have this elaborate temple with all these protections and it's like this like super designed thing. The Atlanteans have it down into the sea and it's like super temple and the humans just bury it in about 6 feet of Earth. It's like they show them like digging a hole with a shovel. And I was like, this is so stupid. Like humans' idea was just like, just like dump it here is fine. Whatever. We don't care that much. It's like the most important thing in the world. It was great.
Yeah.
I think
it's... I mean, there were so many parts, especially with the Flash. Like, when they had the Flash, he's basically the Spider-Man of the DC universe. It's like, so you guys do know how to do this. Like, you do know how to make an entertaining movie. And, like, that character is great.
Yeah, he was by far the best part of that movie. I thought that he was well cast, he was funny, and they used him.
Just enough.
The comedic relief, just enough.
Yeah.
Great.
I just said I don't want to watch any more DC movies. I probably will watch the Flash movie. I did like him quite a bit.
Yeah, he was good. The problem with the Flash stuff is that all the slow-mo is so cool. Like, his introduction sequence is so cool and exciting, but because you've been seeing slow-mo for the entire movie up to that point, it's not special. Yep. Where it's like, if this was a normal movie and all of a sudden you had this like giant slow-mo set piece, you'd be like, oh, fuck, this rules.
Yeah.
But instead it was just like, oh, okay, more slow-mo.
Yeah.
So I've seen this before.
Yeah.
Yep.
That sequence and Cyborg's origin sequence were my two favorite parts because they were really cool and they looked interesting. They were shot well. Mm. But then it was like, I just want to see little like vignette origin stories of these characters by Zack Snyder. That's really it. I don't want to see the connected story because the story is pretty bad. I
hated this Cyborg.
Terrible.
Hated it. Because for one thing, like you were saying, the slow-mo. So Cyborg is just like a high school kid and he's playing football and it goes into like complete slow-mo of his game, of his football game. And he's like doing whatever. And you're like, okay, this is when he gets hit in the back and like his back gets broken and like his life is ruined, and then it pans
he's just good at football.
It's just like his dad isn't there. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? That's not what you use slow-mo for, like, for fuck's sake.
Right.
And then also I think the Cyborg thing gets to one of the big problems I have personally with superhero stories, which is when his father is like introducing his new body. So he gets, after the football game, he gets in a car crash, wrecked. He gets a completely, like 95% of his body becomes this metal construct, and he's a cyborg. And it's like half of his head is still human and the rest is all metal. And so his father is telling him, is like introducing his body and is saying all this stuff and is saying like, you can now like run faster, blah blah blah. And then he says, he starts talking about how he can hack into anything, and how, and especially the phrase without effort you can hack into anything, and the only problem that you'll have is not doing it. It's maintaining your humanity,
right?
And it's like, okay, but like the without effort part to me is the biggest problem with superhero stories. Because like, I understand like every once in a while you want to have the Spider-Man story or whatever, is like, you know, with great power comes great responsibility and you get these powers bestowed upon you. But the whole story of Justice League is them just waking Superman up so he can save the day. That's it. Like the rest of them are useless if Superman is not there. And Superman's job is to, without effort, just blast through all of the rest of the shit. Like, as soon as he's there, Steppenwolf, Darkseid, nobody can touch him. Literally. Like, literally, like Steppenwolf like has his huge axe that is like fucking everybody up, and he just hits Superman and can't even break his skin. And that
right.
to me just kind of embodies the real danger of the dissatisfaction that I have with these superhero stories, because the Marvel stories are also like the last two Marvel movies are the same. Like they're kind of, it's like everybody is kind of doing a bunch of shit to kill time until Captain Marvel can get there and save the day. You know, it's like nobody else really right. makes a difference until Captain Marvel gets there, and then she can like do whatever. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's that, you know, the god level character was always gonna be the one that has the most stakes, and so you take that piece off the table for a while, but then you also want to bring that piece back to the table too. That's exciting to see that person interact with the rest of the characters. But yeah, you're right. Like what was weird to me was that Superman comes back but doesn't really do much. He just like punches Steppenwolf yeah. a couple times, but Wonder Woman is the one who beheads him.
Wonder Woman does all the work. Yeah.
I don't know. It just felt they wanted Superman to come back to be like, well, he's the one we need to have this, and that's true, but then he doesn't do much. He just like pops up and is like, well, I'm here.
Shield. Yeah.
Yeah. It was weird. It didn't feel very
exciting. Yeah, exactly. So I feel like Wonder Woman, like you feel like, but the only thing that Wonder Woman does is she makes a choice. Like anybody could
right.
cut his head off. Like anybody could take her sword right. and cut his head off. She just makes the choice to do it. And Superman won't make that right. choice. And that is intrinsically more, kind of means more to people. Like making that choice means more than just having the power to not to stand, because when it doesn't right. cost you anything, it's like it's just a shrug to me.
Wonder Woman was the most badass of all of them in this movie. Yeah. Her fight scenes were the best.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, no, you're right. And like the cyborg thing, the bit where he's like, you can hack into any financial system and just like give money away, and he does that, but then it only happens the once. It's like, well, why isn't Cyborg doing this? Like, he should be like, and then he's like, also, you can control the entire world's nuclear arsenal. It's like, he yeah. uses none of these powers to fight Steppenwolf.
Yeah.
He just like seems to make blasters with his arms, whatever. All the stuff that gets like layered in doesn't actually get exploited or used at all.
It just seems to me like it would be so much more interesting to me if like he gets, his father is like, this is the only way I can save my son's life. Like, I have to use this super risky cyborg machine to put his brain in, basically. And I don't know if it's going to work. And then it turns out it works. And his father is like, okay, so you're way stronger than normal people. And then he figures out that he can hack into like computers and shit.
Right.
And then he goes off and does that right. on his own. But like when it's just like given to him on a plate, that
right.
kills to me like the character.
Well, it also doesn't, because again, with the Effortless or whatever, he doesn't really do anything. Like the end is almost exactly the same as the end of Back to the Future, like, where Cyborg is the time machine and the Flash is the lightning bolt. And like their only goal yeah. is to touch the things at the same time. Right. There's nothing about what Cyborg needs to do. Like, he doesn't need to like go into some sort of digital space and fight some digital. Like, I don't know how it could have been yeah. better, but it was boring.
Yeah.
Right. And then also it didn't work because the Flash got shot, and then it didn't work, but then it worked again anyway. So like, it really didn't matter. The whole movie was just a string yeah. of MacGuffins that didn't matter.
Yeah. Part of the problem with that reveal too, or that information kind of being given to you in a play, is that you had to introduce this character in this movie. Like, you had to introduce Flash and Cyborg entirely. And I mean, even though Aquaman came out after this one, it was intended to be his first movie too. So three new characters to be sort of explained, and still frankly getting used to this new Batman too. There's like lots of things to explore and uncover, and there's like the narrative shorthand is like, oh yeah, this guy does this stuff. Now you know that, you can move on with it. It's like, well, it's not as exciting to see that story.
Right. Go read 15,000 comics and come
and,
back.
Yeah, and if you have, then you're like, you can catch up with it and know what's going on. But if you haven't, like most of you, then you're like, well, why?
What is going on here?
Like, yeah. What am I supposed to take from this? I watched it while on drugs, and that was much more fun.
I mean, honestly, it was better than I thought. It was interesting because there are these traps that I feel like people go into when they don't know how to construct a story. They just know how to kind of imitate one, and so it has the beats of a right. story, but it doesn't have the internal drama that you need.
Yeah, because it's a culminating movie that has had yeah. nothing really to culminate. It's just like, ta-da, it's all here.
But it's also trying to start something right. at the same time, which mm-hmm. is, I think, part of the problem, where it's like just really it's trying to do too much, right. I suppose. But that's why they
need to yeah. And that last bit, the dream sequence, where the future sequence, where
oh my
Batman God. Talks to Joker.
Fucking Batman shit was batshit.
It was so bad.
Was that a multiverse thing or what the fuck was that?
It's that in the future, it's like a future vision of when Darkseid takes over Earth, there's going to be a band of resistance fighters led by Batman and also including the Joker, apparently, to try and like fight back because Superman will have become evil.
Why was Batman wearing a trench coat over his bat suit?
That's a great question.
Why was he leading the Joker around with a fucking straitjacket?
Yeah, and Batman also had a rifle.
And that whole tortured 20-minute scene just built up to Batman saying the F word. It's like, what?
Not just saying the F word, threatening to murder the Joker. It was so stupid. Yeah. It was so bad.
It's and wild. And then they're like, it's a dream sequence.
Yeah.
Come on.
And that was one of the things they shot that was new.
That was
they brought in Jared Leto specifically for that?
Oh, God.
That was...
Yeah, because they, like, Joe Mangiello, whatever, the guy who plays Deathstroke, he was like, yeah, I was supposed to be in the Batman movie, but I didn't get a chance to do that. But now I got to shoot some scenes as Deathstroke in this new Justice League. And I was like, oh, interesting. And that was the scene I was like, man, definitely not worth it.
Yeah.
You should have turned down that contract. Awful.
We should probably consider wrapping this one up. It's going to be up 30 minutes. Let's say last point.
Small tangent.
Yeah.
Small tangent.
Okay.
I think part of the problem with Zack Snyder is his more complicated ideas he's unwilling to explain.
Right.
And so he doesn't... A Marvel movie, like half of it is just explaining to the audience exactly what's happening and exactly why we need... Like, what are these fucking five stones that we need? Why do we need them? Where are they? How can we get them? And then once you... But all of that is built on this simpler idea of like, if this guy gets all of these things, he's going to kill half the universe.
Right.
Everybody gets that. Everybody can understand that. It's like, that's it. He just wants to kill half the universe. It's like, okay. And then on top of that, we can build like these time heists that bring back like all of this complicated shit. And because the motivations are clear, it's like everything else, like if you get a little bit lost, you at least know where you're going. And you can get there. But in this mother box shit, it's like, all right, so they're getting the three mother boxes, but then there's still the anti-life equation and like all this shit. So much of it is, it just happens, especially in the Zack Snyder movies with like looks and shit.
Yeah.
People will like look at each other or they'll have a dream about something. And like, there was that part where like Wonder Woman was dead. And I was like, what? Did I miss something? Like, I don't understand what's happening. And it never gets explained. It's like, is that a dream? Is that an alternate reality? Is that a future?
Right.
No idea.
Yeah, that's all that stuff setting up things for the future that you're supposed to be intrigued by. So that like in the three movies down the line, you can watch the movie where like, oh, now I see why there was that vision of a dead Wonder Woman. But it's like, that's really putting a lot of faith in the first step. And the Marvel model is just so different where Iron Man stood on its own. And if it didn't succeed, it would have been like, well, whatever. That was another movie that didn't work and put in the dustbin. But it did, and they could build on it from there. Whereas this is like, no, you're going to want more of this. It's like, you have to really make us want more of it. And I guess a lot of people did. That's the thing, is that there was a huge audience for this, evidently. So they could have probably gotten away with it, but to no satisfaction on my part. It would have been a real bummer to have more of this come.
It's gotta really be like your wish gets granted by the monkey's paw kind of thing for you, where it's like, oh, this is exactly what I wanted. And it sucks.
Totally. Oh, yeah. That's what I was telling the person I was watching with. I was like, man, I wanted nothing more than to see a Justice League movie like for so long. And now it's just like, well, okay. I guess I maybe shouldn't have wanted that.
And then the first one sucked. And then you're like, oh, they're going to redo it. It is possible to recut this material to make it make sense and make it be a good movie. There's a perfectly fine movie in there. But like, Zack Snyder can't.
Yeah, you could use it in like film school to teach editing and be like, here's 4 hours of footage, turn this into a narrative and see what happens. Like, it's almost like an experiment, like a kit you buy your kid. Like, here's how to learn how to edit film.
Yeah, cut this down to 2 hours, if not 90 minutes.
Just take
minutes.
All the slow-mo out. Probably would be fine.
Yeah.
And all the Willem Dafoe's. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and Amber Heard's terrible pseudo. Was it an accent? Was it not an accent? That was also super weird.
What's the deal with the fucking Willem Dafoe people? So they can't breathe air, but they also can't speak underwater.
That was dumb. Like, that was just a...
They have to make air bubbles to talk? What a shitty existence.
Yeah, that makes no sense. Atlanteans can speak underwater. They can breathe water. That's part of their whole thing.
They can't breathe air. That's what
should have just had them glubbing each other.
That's what they said in the movie, is that they can't breathe. They never come on land because they can't breathe air. And then they can't talk
Yeah, it makes no sense. The Aquaman movie did that a lot better. Just had them be underwater and talk. And I was like, this is fine. There's underwater talking.
Yeah.
Just like if they were in space talking, I would buy the same thing because I understand how stories work.
Because also, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's only. Like, if you make a big deal of it, that it...
Right. It's never a plot point where it's like, oh, Aquaman can't talk now because he's underwater. It's like, no, he can always just talk.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least there wasn't a 30-second expelling his lungs scene every time he went on land, so it's fine.
They wasted so much shit. It's like, that first scene where Batman is like, comes to Aquaman and it's like, does all this shit. It's like, yeah, he comes on the King Tide. That was last night, right? And they're like, oh, yeah. Oh my gosh, Batman, you know all about our town. And then Aquaman's just like, nah.
Like, well, and also, they don't even, he's there as Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
And it's like, just does not care about his secret identity at all. He's just like, I'm just going to go around being Bruce Wayne and doing stuff. And people will definitely know that I'm Batman. And like, who cares? Just
careless. But it's just so wasted.
Just don't care.
It's like, you just wasted the first 30 minutes of your movie. You just... threw it away.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But it's not a waste because there's so much more. It's just like, I don't know, after that point, there's still seven more 30-minute segments to indulge in. So you don't have to. You just get whatever you want to.
One of my favorite parts, though, was when I think the Flash is like, so what's your superpower? And he goes, I'm rich. It's like, yeah, pretty much.
I mean, in that movie especially, like, all he does is just drive the car and shoot guns.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't
But that fight. Self-awareness is like...
It's a goofy Batman.
Okay.
Well, I think we can say this is... like a curiosity. I can't say don't watch it. I would definitely encourage people to watch it if they're looking for something weird to do with 4 hours of their time. But I would also have friends to watch it with for sure. Make it an event and kind of play it up. That's when it becomes really fun. If you're looking for a high quality movie, this is not it, probably. But let us know what your thoughts are. Tell us on Twitter at YakBabies and also email us, yakbabiespodcast@gmail.com. Let us hear what you found to be exciting about the Snyder Cut or not, for that matter. Of course, patreon.com/yakbabies for access to our bonus podcast. For $1 a month, you can get all our games and bro-to-bro discussions and drafts and all kinds of madness happening there. And then we have merch available, tinyurl.com/yakbabies. There's shirts, posters, mugs, all kinds of fun designs that Brick has done that are really, really good and funny and cool. So check those out too. Until then, Yak Babies, yakking off.
The Yak Babies would like to thank all their loyal listeners, and especially their patrons, both past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, Sebastian, David, Roger, Kathleen, Bailey, Andrew, and William Howard Taft.